boxed, ready for Saturday morning's Greyhound Racing Wrap. Across Victoria, RSN 927 is Talking Greyhounds.
And g'day from JT, back for another Saturday morning here on Talking Greyhounds right across Victoria on RSN 927. Big hello to you wherever you are listening around the state. Simone Fisher, howdy Simone.
Good morning, John. We're right in the middle of winter, aren't we? Some of these mornings are getting a bit dark, cold, wet, all the rest of it.
Now, these industry participants, you're strong folk.
Oh, it's nice sitting in a studio for a little bit of time.
Yeah,
so.
With warm coffee and, we'll have a talk about greyhounds as well. What is coming up on today's show?
Big show today. I'll be talking to Marg Long about her recollections of the late Joe Pearl and his greyhound Spread Eagled. Also, Peter Craig, he's a coursing expert and NCA secretary, about the Sylvester Doyle Puppy Championship this weekend. And I'd like also to discuss with you the idea of an Australian dog international type race concept. I've been contacted during the week by someone from the UK about perhaps Australian dogs going over there. So if we could discuss that and the potential of that happening.
Absolutely. Well, we'll get to that in a moment. But what has been making news in the world of greyhounds this week, Simone?
Well, the final of the Peter Mosman is on tonight at Wentworth Park. My Redeemer won the first semi-final last week in 29.64. He's come up with box five, which David Gill isn't too happy about, given the fact that Chief's Empire, who has good early speed, is drawn in the six. He can be a little bit tardy early, My Redeemer, but he's a class act. I think the danger will be Beast Unleashed, who we saw take out the launching pad recently.
Very smart dog. But, gee, My Redeemer, when he won the Harrison Dawson, he was headed. He missed the kick. He was headed, but he was able to use his smarts and find the winner's post. So, five is a drawback, but he's a... For his age, he's very mature.
He is, very much so.
All right.
The Brisbane Gold Cup was decided at Albion Park on Thursday night, and no surprises there with Tornado Tears winning, also breaking the track record by about two lengths. A terrific run.
As soon as he landed behind Benali, he was $1.10.
Yeah.
He was $1.10. He's a very smart pup.
He sure is. Hasten Slowly won the Flying Amy earlier in the night, so two group finals to Fernando Bale yet again.
So when you think of him as a stud dog now, he is just in rare air, Simone. Considering this is just the start of his stud career.
I know, and like when I caught up with Paul Westerveld a couple of weeks ago, you know, it surprised him as well. And I sort of think Hall of Fame, he can go in as a race dog and as a stud dog already.
Correct.
Only a matter of time that will happen. Over in New Zealand, the Duke of Edinburgh Silver Collar was run and won by former Victorian Ring the Bell for the second consecutive year. And it's the only time the dog has won back-to-back races of this race. He's the second dog to be the dual winner, however. Tivoli Tom won it in 1992 and 1994. He had to miss 1993 because he had kennel cough, but who knows? Ring the Bell, maybe he might make it to the final again next year. He's halfway there from what Bold Trees did, didn't he?
Well, you never know. Well done to the team with Ring the Bell. We wish that pup all the best.
Sandown are holding their Dollars for Dinner promotion in July. So anyone that purchases a dining package, they get the value of that refunded in betting tickets.
It's a great concept. I got the email, Greg Miller. Thank you very much. Yes, tick for me.
Yeah, there have been some changes to the age restrictions for both Maturity and Silver Chief Group 1s that are run at the Meadows. There are details on the website without me going through the ages there. And talking of the Meadows, they are hosting their annual Girls' Night out on August the 18th.
Are you hosting this, Simone?
No, I'm not. But
are you
knows?
Going to?
I may go along. Yes, I haven't looked that far on my calendar, but there's a possibility. Tickets are $90, and for every ticket sold, $20 will be donated to the Look Good, Feel Better Foundation. And as always, there's massages, tarot card readings, all that sort of girly stuff, pamper things. And for anyone booking, some of the early birds booking a table of 10 or more, there will be a complimentary limo pickup.
Well done to Joe Jackson and the team, Marg Long out at the Meadows. Good thinking.
The adoption weekend has already started at the Gap property in Seymour. It began yesterday, and so only today to go. I'll be interested to see what the final figures are. There's about 70 greyhounds to be adopted over the weekend. I'm sure they'll...
If you attend, you'll bring
target.
One home.
Yeah, that's right.
If you go along to Seymour, you'd go along, you'll bring one home.
Absolutely,
guaranteed.
That's a given. And I forgot to mention last week, I went to the Gap Cafe, had a coffee with Peter Duncan, a couple of weeks ago, and yeah, mm-hmm. it's a great concept. Really nice, fresh-looking cafe and good food there and a couple of hounds walking around. So not that I actually probably need that. I've got that at home all the time. But,
no, it's a great concept. You don't have to have a Gap greyhound or any pup to go along to the Gap cafe. You can walk in there for a coffee
and
experience, and then you'll go up to Seymour and get a Gap dog.
That's right. Cranbourne Wednesday night, an interesting call for Matt Jackson when the greyhounds finished in race book order. The odds of that are 40,320 to 1.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yes. Now, I didn't do the number crunching for that, but I'm not that mathematically inclined.
8 times 7 times 6 times 5 times 4 times 3 times 2 times 1.
That's the accountant coming out.
Yeah, that's the accountant coming out. Field, $336 for a box trifecta.
There we go. And look, finally, what I mentioned at the start of the show, I was contacted by David Mitchell from the UK. He works for RPG TV. Mm-hmm. It is their national greyhound channel over there. Recently, the English Derby was held at Towcester Racecourse, and Mick Floyd, I'm guessing, someone from Sandown, put out a tweet after that that all six greyhounds in the final of the English Derby will gain an exemption into the Melbourne Cup heat, so they can pretty much come over. So it was probably a bit of an off-the-cuff remark, but it has really set the ball rolling for the Brits to really want to have an international race, and I'd love to see some Australian dogs go over there. Australian, American and New Zealand dogs, by the way, and even reciprocate and have some English dogs back here. So my initial thoughts, without sounding too negative, were, you know, quarantine, welfare, security, just the distance.
There's a few Australian logistical issues straight off the bat.
There is. And then when you start breaking that down, and also the stake money is, I guess, the biggest thing. I mean,
I think that's the key, Simone. So I'll just talk about it from a Victorian perspective. Our big race now, the TAB Melbourne Cups, were 630K. Their derby's worth 175 UK pounds, so that's maybe 350, 370-ish.
Yes.
So, and that's the top of the pinnacle. There's a lot of low races over there. If you watch and listen to the greyhound racing we have on late at night from places like Sunderland and those, Towcester, they're not racing for very much.
No.
And these are the fast class greyhounds. So I think for us to send a legitimate greyhound over there, I don't think the sums actually stack up.
No, that's the case I put forward, to which they said, we understand that, but perhaps having dogs come over and racing in the UK and some other races as well, and being put with a trainer over there and like one of their professional respected trainers, and having time to settle in and perhaps race over there over a period of time, not just go for the English Derby.
Sure.
But they're looking at making it an international event, which I think is a terrific concept. But then you'll remember back in the 90s with the Top Gun when the three greyhounds came from overseas, and it was a great idea, but it was just executed poorly. And
it's difficult. If we look at what RV have done with the quarantine centre at Werribee, they've got it down pat now where horses can come over. And it's only 25 years since Vintage Crop, the first Northern Hemisphere horse trained to win the Melbourne Cup. In those 25 years, they've refined it, so it's a well-oiled machine. You'd need that type of infrastructure to make this work. I reckon it's a much bigger chance of an English greyhound coming over here to compete.
And that may be the starting point. So Ben Keith, the sponsor of the English Derby, he is, I think, one of the driving forces behind this. And I think perhaps that is the way to go about it. Try and get some English dogs here and have them here for a period of time. Let them acclimatise. Let them get used to our tracks. I think our surfaces are harder. I went to Poole Greyhounds a number of years ago, which is very countryish. And it did look, you know, surprised by the outside lure, six dog fields. The track looked a lot softer than what we run on here. So, you know, potentially, I think if we start looking at it, breaking it down, and maybe putting some small steps in, perhaps it could work.
Conversation started, but anything's possible. Yes. It's a very global world at the moment, and I think, well, we saw Maori Time go over to compete in the Elite Lot for trotting. So Lazarus is going over to the States. So it does happen, but I think you've got to get the infrastructure and the logistics right. But let's keep that conversation going.
Yeah, I think so, and I think that's what they will try and get that plan in place to present something to drive it forward.
RSN 927's Talking Greyhounds with Simone Fisher.
Racing, spread eagle a little bit slow to begin away, quickly near the inside, Demon Range. Bullion Breaker going very fast in the centre out of the straight. Bullion Breaker cuts over to the rails and takes the lead to the back now. About three or four clear, that's spread eagle getting to second. Demon Range, Diamolite, though, followed by It's a Beauty. Malu Power, Barney Bale and last, Franklandino. Coming off the back, it's Bullion Breaker, two clear, spread eagle second. Four lengths, Diamolite and then Demon Range on the corner. Bullion Breaker, the leader, spread eagle is down the outside. Bullion Breaker, tackled by spread eagle, the favourites got up to win. Spread eagle first, Bullion Breaker second, Diamondite was
and
third.
Joining me on Talking Greyhound this morning is MGRA manager Margaret Long. And Marg, that brings back some memories for you, doesn't it, that race replay?
Oh, it does. I put that down as one of the most memorable Australian Cups that's ever been held. And I think that's when you can see the passion and the joy of somebody who wins a race like the Australian Cup. And you saw how Joe handled it on the night. It was just such a classic event. He actually picked the dog up at the catching pen and carried him shoulder high back to the crowd, showing him off to the crowd. You know, it was really quite funny. And, you know, people just loved it. And you know, we enjoyed the passion. It's such a wonderful thing to see.
And did he make a comment about this being the ice cream on the cake instead of the icing?
Yeah. But he was Irish.
Yes.
And sometimes things didn't come out quite as they were meant to come out, you know. So he was a funny man and still had a very broad Irish accent, you know, right through his life. And sometimes I think I was agreeing in conversations when I wasn't quite sure what he said to me. But, you know, he's a wonderful man. I liked him.
Well, that makes two of us, because I can remember Joe on Friday nights at Geelong Dogs, and sometimes you couldn't understand what he was saying, but you would nod and laugh. And his wife Wendy used to walk around with a handbag on her arm, and she'd be selling raffle tickets or, you know, trying to conjure up some support somewhere. But Joe, he was a real character that I remember, and yeah, just that accent, it was hard at times.
It was very hard, but you know. As I say, had a real passion for the industry. You know, they're on the NCA committee, and did lots. Wendy was actually on the board at Geelong for a long time, and their love of the greyhounds and the love of the sport in general was just, you know, was just massive, really. And you know, he obviously had, you know, the relationship in Ireland with the greyhounds and brought that with him when he came here. You know, so. Never lost the accent at all.
No. Why do you think that Australian Cup win was so popular with the public? Do you think it was like to say that anyone can have a greyhound and win a race like this?
Yeah, I think so. Although I don't think there were, well, certainly you're talking about 1990, there was not the proliferation of public trainers that there are now, you know, professional trainers. But yes, it was seen as, he was a pretty affable sort of a character, you know, and it was seen as the little man with just one dog kind of thing, winning a really, really big race. And people loved that. And they loved that immediate reaction when he won, you know, like the pride in his dog. He loved that dog like you wouldn't believe. He really absolutely loved him. And just to show him off like he did, it was just such a proud moment, and people reacted to that, you know.
I guess that's what we'd all love, to be able to put ourselves in that moment, wouldn't we, to have a dog win a race like that or have the strength to lift it up as well, perhaps. But and was it true he had tears streaming down his face as well?
He used to get quite emotional, Joe. You know, he really did get quite emotional. He was, that was just his nature. It's a really big event in somebody's life to do that. And, you know, I think, you know, he owned and trained the dog himself and was all, you know, it was all sort of their love for it. It was just amazing. As I said, the dog itself, he actually loved the dog. Wouldn't have mattered what the dog did. He just loved him. But for him to achieve what he did was just huge. And he was a great achiever. You know, Spread Eagle was a great achiever. Joe and I had ongoing, you know, a bit of a
banter,
go, we shall call it, over the many years. I had a dog called Toinette who broke the 600-metre record at Olympic Park, and then along comes Spread Eagle just not so long after that and broke her record, you know. So I reckon he raised that every time we had a chat.
And then your affiliation with Olympic Park, of course. And he was a track specialist there, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, loved it. Absolutely loved it. He's a very good dog. As I say, he, you know, he was an Australian Cup winner over the 500 and then held the record over the 600. So he was a versatile dog. Very versatile dog. Struggled at Sandown, absolutely struggled at Sandown. But, yeah, his affiliation with Olympic Park was huge.
Now, Joe passed away just recently at 88 years of age, which is a terrific innings in itself. The service was held a couple of days ago down in Geelong, and from all accounts, it was a great service.
Yes, it was a great service. You know, nice long service, and the family spoke beautifully of Joe. So that's a really nice sort of thing. You know, when you see somebody who's lived a long life, and 88 is a long life, but, you know, I think he'll be, you know, he at this age would be glad to be thinking that he's going to meet Wendy at the other end, you know?
Yeah, of course. It was only a few years ago that she passed away as well. And I guess when you lose your lifelong companion and it does get difficult. So it's probably, you know, it was his time and maybe the time was right.
Maybe it was. Maybe he's going to run into Spread Eagle somewhere up there.
Well, I was just going to say that somewhere at the Rainbow Bridge. Well, Marg, what is your greatest memory of Joe, just that night at the Australian Cup, lifting the dog above his head?
Absolutely. His passion for the greyhound and the, you know, just the pure emotion of the night, he just stands in my mind forever, you know.
Oh, yeah. Great. It's a great memory to have. Thanks for joining us this morning, Marg.
Thanks, Simone.
All Greyhounds, every Saturday, across Victoria. RSN 927 is Talking Greyhounds.
Alrighty, Simone, fast times of the week.
Slingshot Maxi, 22-22 over the 400 at Geelong for Rob Britton. Dutch Legacy, 34-23 for David Kirk at Geelong, also over the 596. Bernardo, a 29.82 at the Meadows for William McMahon over the 5.25. Kate Gorman had Vitalizer run a 16.55 up the Healesville Straight over the 300. Orson Allen for Corey Grenfell, a 27.12 over the 4.85 at Horsham. And Lila Bale, a 33.96 over the 5.95 at Sandown for Andrea Daly.
It's the expert pick, Simone's Run of the Week.
What have you got for me, Simone?
Well, I'm just going to have to do it again. It's just the weekly
tornado
given, isn't
tears
it?
run of the week. Jesus, 27 months of age.
How can you argue with another Group 1 and a track record as well?
And I still reckon he can go faster. If you see when he was making his run in the back straight behind Benali, he's just wobbling a little bit. So Rob Britton's got plenty of material to work with.
He sure has, but it's just not a leader. It is a leader's track. It's not a track that really allows
greyhounds
to
come
from
behind. You
but
just can't
Sam,
do it.
How good was his run as well? I mean, that was enormous as well.
Look, he's like, Rob Britton must be seeing there's so much potential if he can just get a bit closer. Yeah. If he can just get a bit closer. His run was enormous. No wonder he just faded in the straight to run third, because it was an enormous run again.
Yeah, he was well behind the eight ball when they came out of the boxes, wasn't he?
Well, yeah. I can't disagree. He is an absolute jet tornado tears. We'll take a break here on Talking Greyhounds. Here on RSN 927. The other side, we'll talk some coursing with Peter Craig.
Love your doggies. The Greyhound leader. RSN 927.
Thanks for joining us this morning on Talking Greyhounds, Peter. Well, coursing is a very important part of our landscape, and the coursing season is in full swing at the moment.
Yes, it certainly is, Simone, and this weekend we've got the first of our classics for the year, the Sylvester Doyle down at Lang Lang, and we've got a big field, one of the biggest we've had for a number of years, I think, with 56 runners, so spread over 2 weeks. The greyhounds, or the winner, will have to go through six rounds and win six events over the two Sundays, and with a really nice prize money this year, we've got $3,695 plus a big grey bonus. So somebody will get a well-deserved win.
It certainly will be. So this is a Sylvester Doyle Puppy Championship, and it's a little bit different, isn't it? Because usually in coursing, the sexes race against each other, but in this, it's dogs against bitches.
That's right. This is our Puppy Championship, and it gives all those after 1st of March in 2016 an opportunity. It's down at Lang Lang, which is a bit more friendlier to the bitches. It's not as tough a run and certainly gives both an even chance. You know, a lot of times up the big straights, the dogs have an advantage, but down at Lang Lang, it's quite a bitch's track down there. So it's a pretty even event, and we're looking for some pretty good competition over the two Sundays.
Are you pleased with the dogs that have nominated? Like, can you see some ones there that are emerging coursing stars, or just dogs that have been on the circle that you think, you know, will have a really good go at this?
At the moment, look, a lot of them, there are quite a number that are going to be first-time runners this weekend, and at this stage of the season, you know, where we've only had a few rounds, a lot of dogs can come through it, especially where they're only running three times this Sunday and then three times the following week. When we get to the Derby and Oaks in a month's time, and they have to run on Saturday and Sunday, I think, you know, you can usually follow the coursing form then a bit better. But at the moment, it's going to be a pretty good and a pretty even round. We've had some pretty good coursing so far this season, and we had the Werribee Cup just recently, and the Slipster Boxers race has brought on a lot of new people to greyhound racing. We had the final at Shepparton on Thursday night, and I know talking the Galea kennel had a number of runners, three runners in the final, and talking to Jeff up at Shepparton on Thursday night, you know, he was saying just how it turned a number of his dogs on. They were thinking about getting blood tests for them, and with a couple of tries to coursing, all of a sudden, you know, these dogs are racing really well. So he was a real rap for how it's turned his dogs around.
It's really true to its saying, isn't it? Catch on to coursing, a promotion that you have had as well. And let's get back to this Slipster Boxers. You had a greyhound in the finalist. Unfortunately, it didn't run in the first three placings, but you had to do the presentation to the winner. How was that?
Yeah, I got the trophy up there. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to bring it back, but I had a 50-1 chance in it. And Ryan Galea is main one. It's been racing very well around the circle, and you know, as I say, he attributes that improvement to the run-up at Longwood, and he ran 22 dead last night to win the final, beat Gotham Queen, who's a stand-down winner, was last year's coursing bitch of the year, and made a great return after having a litter of pups only about 14 weeks ago. And I know Sean Lithgow's got this year's Waterloo Cup in mind for Gotham Queen. And she ran a strong second last night. It was a well-thought-out final. And unfortunately, the prize didn't come back to Lang Warren.
No, it didn't. But the good news, like you mentioned before, and we talked about this on our show when you're on about 6 weeks ago, is that the entries for coursing are up about 40%. And I think it is... You know, you can attribute that back to the fact that greyhounds may not be chasing as well on the circle. The training techniques have changed into getting greyhounds to chase, but coursing, you can't get much a more pure form of racing. So it is really resonating with participants.
Yeah, and this week at Lang Lang, you know, it's with the drag lure, the greyhounds take to it so well, and it really does fire them up. You know, the little bitch of mine that we took up to Shepparton, you know, she was really struggling on the circle, and after the picnic meeting, you know, she won two in a week, and she still needs a bit of luck with box draws, but you know, she's chasing really well now. Last night she got Thursday night she got flattened, but I think everybody's looking to try something different, and now that, you know, the prize money's so good, you know, it's really an opportunity where people really aren't missing out. They're not wasting a week if they go to the coursing. This weekend, to back up the Sylvester Doyle fields and the Puppy Championship, we've got both the Ray Boundy Memorial and the Gippsland Cup, and we had more than the required number of maidens enter. And we'll have 32 in the maidens and the 16 in the Ray Boundy, and some of the top ones have actually missed out because we had so many entries, and you know, there's a number of quite a demand for some good dogs. You know, they're certainly seeing that it's not just an alternative for, you know, like a training exercise. It's
It sure is. And then in about 4 weeks' time, you mentioned you've got the Oaks and Derby, and that's at Longwood.
Yeah, a couple of events coming up. Obviously, the puppies that go up this weekend and next will be keeping their mind on Longwood the weekend, the 21st of July, Saturday and Sunday, for 60, up to 64 dogs and bitches. So they could be required to run six times on the weekend. And, you know, those that have been racing at the coursing will certainly be well seasoned for that sort of event. We've got another of the Slips to Boxes events coming up at Lang Lang on the 8th of July with the final at Cranbourne over the 311. So that's another way where trainers that, you know, might be struggling to get a run with their dogs can race for great money. Thursday night at Shepparton, they raced for $1,650 plus the Vic Craze bonus, and I know the prize money at Cranbourne's another $2,000. So on top of the money for winning at the coursing or runner-up at the coursing, they also have the opportunity for the track money.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great concept too. And look, thanks for joining us again, Peter. We appreciate your passion for coursing and the fact that it has had some sort of a revival over the last couple of years. And I look forward to hearing all about this Sylvester Doyle Puppy Championship.
Thanks, Simone.
All Greyhounds, every Saturday, across Victoria. RSN 927 is Talking Greyhounds.
Before we wrap up the show today, Simone, dogs to follow, please.
Last week's dog to follow, Fierce Lomar, is engaged tonight. Race 3, box 8 at the Meadows in a restricted win final. And my dog to follow, it actually raced last week, but couldn't fit it on the show. So It Goes, an outstanding run last Thursday night at Sandown over the 595. Very good splits there too. Overall time, 34.04. He's been very consistent over the mid-distance. And watch out if he gains a run this week. I haven't been able to determine that he's been drawn in a field. But if he is, So It Goes. Did you ever read the book Slaughterhouse 5?
No.
So It Goes. I just wonder whether it came out of that. It was, it's a little three words that make it through the book very often.
Maybe that is the case. Best bet, please.
Race eight, number six tonight at the Meadows over the 595. Dinah Patty, I think she'll get a good run into the race as the five does head to the rails.
Okay, what's coming up this week in Greyhound Racing, Simone?
Well, the final of the Peter Mosman tonight at Wenty. Bendigo Cup heats in a couple of weeks, and also the McKenna Memorial isn't far away either.
Big show. You enjoy the rest of your weekend. Stay warm.
You too.
And everyone, keep those tails wagging. Short break coming up here on RSN 927. The other side, we'll talk trots with the team. Big night of trots coming up at Tabcorp Park, Melton. Soho Tribeca is back in the Italian Cup free-for-all. Looking forward to that.
We'll be uploading the best of today's Talking Greyhounds to rsn.net.au.